Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Come on. Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome today's guest, a strong and powerful Chris Benson. Chris, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready, George. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let's do this. Chris is the Chief Investment Officer at Reliant Investments, one of the top 30 self-storage investment companies in the United States. I'm excited to have you on. Chris, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So, George, I'm talking to you from our office in Roswell, Georgia. So I live just north of Atlanta, about 20 miles. I live here with my wife, Jen, and our teenage son, Luke. I have one who's already moved out of the house. He's back in New York right now. That's Noah. So we're on our exit descent of parenting, which has been a fun transition. So as you mentioned, on the personal side of things, I love all things outdoors. Basically, if you gave me a ski mountain and a lake, I'm pretty much good. I don't really need too much more than either of those things. So that's generally me. So I run for Reliant, basically the capital markets for our business. So all things as far as raising equity from investors and working with our acquisitions team on what our strategy is on acquiring individual or new properties. That's really my role with the organization. And it's enjoyable. A lot of great relationships, certainly a lot of distinct personalities that you meet and needs in the industry. So I enjoy it. As far as the why, I'm vested in building the portfolio with Reliant. My partner Todd Allen started the company, and to watch a company go from, you know, him building it in the back of his apartment to top 25 self-storage operator in 2019. It's been fun to watch it grow, and there's a lot of people who helped us get here. And I think ultimately the goal is to build a portfolio that rewards them to getting to this point.
Nice. I love it. So I shortchanged you then. I said one of the top 30 when in fact you're the top 25.
It changes all the time. It goes up and down depending on what we're buying and selling.
Sure. Nice. All right. So the industry itself, just from my anecdotal perspective, it seems like there are storage units popping up everywhere that I look. Is it growing?
Yeah, there's been a huge development cycle in self-storage the last 5 years. The last three, there's probably been the most new net rentable square footage delivered in the history of the asset class. Specifically, George, in the top 50 MSAs across the country. So, you know, generally in the world of real estate, institutional money is always going to find yield. And so if people are making money in something, the secret's not going to be held too closely for very long. So as soon as everybody figured out, hey, we can make money in self-storage, there's been a huge glut of new supply coming to the market.
And from your perspective, trying to make good decisions about acquisitions and where to be deploying your funds, is that I bet that makes it, well, it's probably a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly new supply in a market affects you the way that you think it would, right? It's basic economics, the laws of supply and demand. So you put a new facility in the market that's trying to get leased up, they're going to drop prices. And generally, you know, until they get stabilized, they're going to lowball rents until they can get butts in the seats. So for us, we'd prefer not to have new supply coming into the market. I guess the other side of that double-edged sword that you described is institutional finance is investing heavily. Actually, today, we're recording this on October 26th, Blackstone just bought another self-storage portfolio group called Simply Self-Storage for $1.2 billion. So, you know, more capital in the space compresses cap rates, which means values are coming up. So as more capital chases your deals, it's great on the sell side, makes it certainly a little bit more challenging on the buy side.
Got it. So certainly, well, what would you say are the risks to doing what it is that you and Reliant are doing? I would think that a lot of this is pretty safe, but I'm certainly there must be risks as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, real estate on its face is generally interesting to people because it's a tangible asset, right? There's something you can touch, feel that is always going to have some intrinsic value. But I think, you know, from a perspective of investors who invest with us, you know, if you came to me, George, and said, hey, I want to put some money towards self-storage, what are the risks? Not specific to the asset class, but you want to make sure that we're not over leveraged, right? You know, if you put too much debt on your property and there's an adjustment in values, and for some reason that note gets called or you get to the end of your loan, you don't have the value to get a new loan to buy it out, that's a problem, right? So over leverage is a big issue. We just touched on the supply side. You got to be careful the markets you're going into. You know, we focus primarily on secondary and tertiary markets. We think there's a consolidation strategy to be had there, but also to your earlier point, when we have new supply in the market, it certainly hurts your ability to drive rents and grow net operating income. So, you know, I think those are probably the two big risks, you know, at the macro level. And then, look, if you're investing with a group like Reliant, the biggest risk is the people here, right? You're really investing in us. Because as an investor, you know, George, if you came to me and said, hey, I want to put $100,000 towards self-storage, you have no control, right? So you're really trusting that the operator is going to be successful in executing their business plan. And so for your listeners, I would say that, you know, one of the biggest things as you look at sort of these passive income opportunity or these passive investment opportunities is really digging into who the operator is and what their track record is, because ultimately, that's what you're investing in, is, you know, the people that run it. Saying I'm investing in real estate in this regard is somewhat of a misnomer, because ultimately, if Reliant screws it up, it doesn't matter how good the project was. Ultimately, it falls on our shoulders.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So looking, it makes sense to me what your approach is working in secondary markets. I live in Scottsdale, and it seems odd to me that somebody would build a self-storage unit right on one of our main thoroughfares in what I have to imagine is one of the most expensive real estate markets in the country, but people are doing it. It seems to me that I would want to be more of a value investor and going in and finding what is a good property, a good, I guess, unit, but just being mismanaged, or it needs a bit of a sprucing up, for lack of a better term.
I think there's probably value in both of those strategies. It really depends, you know, what your goals or your capital are, right? You know, that property you're describing in Scottsdale on the corner of Main and Main, that's, you know, stone and glass. It's a beautiful building. It's expensive to develop, but there's a premium being paid for that. Whoever developed that, unless, you know, is probably looking at who they're exiting to. Right, they're going to sell that to one of the self-storage REITs or potentially institutional capital. And generally, those guys want to deploy capital in markets that are really strong, right? What I would call Scottsdale is a strong secondary market. So, you know, you want to be in that market. But there's also a strategy we have, what you're describing as a value add play, where you're finding a facility that has the potential to grow value through forced appreciation. So, you know, to give you an example, we bought a property in Wilmington, North Carolina that is generally stabilized, 90% plus full. And we're going to build an additional 12,000 square feet of climate controlled units because we feel the market's undersupplied. So, you know, people, their demand is still there, but the facility's full. So we're going to add some additional units, hopefully get them to come in and rent and grow value that way. But, you know, it's really a strategy you look at depending on what your capital wants and what they're comfortable with as investors. We personally kind of fall on your shoulders where, we like that secondary tertiary market value add play, because we think that's a good recession resilient type of strategy no matter what's happening in the current economy.
How often are you, so you I imagine have a set mission or a charter. It says these are the parameters that we're going to be deploying our capital in, and we're going to be looking for new opportunities. Or is that fairly fluid, and do you reassess it? Just tell me about a little bit about that process.
Yes. All of that.
Correct.
We have a set of acquisition guidelines and underwriting guidelines, but it's changing almost quarterly, especially our assumptions that go into our pro formas, right? The market is dynamic, so things are moving. And so, as far as what we can assume for rent growth and lease up pace and what we think we can sell for, it's all fluid based on how the market looks, right? I mean, the market today is different than it was 6 months ago, and it's different than it was 6 months before that. So our underwriting team is always adjusting and tweaking as data comes to us from our own portfolio, and then also what's being reported, you know, at a national level. So I would say that it's definitely more fluid than anything else.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, I think you mentioned that it was BlackRock that made an acquisition. Does that automatically really reshuffle prices and almost the whole industry, or does it not really make that big of a difference?
No, it's Blackstone. I know that's really confusing that there's multiple BlackRock and Blackstone. I believe this acquisition makes them either the third or fourth largest self-storage holder in the industry. Right now, they use third-party management to manage the facilities, so it'll most likely be one of the REITs that manages them. Those properties that they bought. Blackstone doesn't have their own operational platform. So no, it will most likely be business as usual. Just one of the REITs will have a larger share of what they're managing in the marketplace. I think that idea though, George, of consolidation in the marketplace will continue to happen, right? The largest players are going to get bigger, and it's the more mom and pop shops are going to continue to get consolidated.
Yeah, from an actual asset management standpoint, how does Reliant handle that? Are you operating the units yourselves?
We do. So we're vertically integrated operators. So we're buying and managing. So it's our employees behind the desk. We have 50 properties as of today, mostly in the Southeast, and it's our employees, you know, who are there, and we have an operational hierarchy that runs those facilities, and then that information rolls up to corporate here, where we're, you know, hopefully making good decisions to roll out into the field.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Has that always been your approach to be vertically integrated like that?
Yeah, it kind of started in that Reliant, in Todd Allen, who's one of the co-founders of Reliant, and I'm not one of them. When he started the company, it started as a management company for his partners, Lou Pollack, who was the other co-founder. He had four properties, and so they struck up a friendship, started a management company to run those four facilities, and then that kind of morphed into, okay, you know, we can manage these, we'll start buying our own and managing them. And so it was always part of the plan. We've never really put a big focus on third-party property management. There's a lot of groups out there that rather than buying their own, they're just the manager. So you can plug them into your facility when you buy it. And a number of the REITs, which I keep saying REITs, for your listeners, real estate investment trusts, the publicly traded stocks, they have third-party management platforms as well. So if for some reason we said, hey, we don't want to manage any of our own properties anymore, we can go in and hire a group like that to come in, and you know, you pay them a percentage of the gross rents that come in to manage your property.
Got it. Have you found that you have a profile of folks that invest with you? Is it institutions? Is it individuals?
Yes.
Again, correct.
Yeah. So we have. We've raised capital over the years, George, in really two distinct buckets. I would say that institutional bucket, we have a private REIT that's been a partner of ours for a long time. They did a 20 property portfolio with us. We have a family office, a really large family office that has deployed a bunch of capital with us as well. And then we have what I would call our retail investor network. So just think, you know, accredited investor, high net worth, doctor, lawyer, business owner type people who are trying to deploy capital in some sort of non-correlated asset to the equities market. And generally, those people are saying, look, I want exposure to the asset class, but I want to be a passive investor. I don't want to go out and do this direct where I'm buying my own facility. I want to partner with a professional, deploy some capital to get exposure to the asset class, but I don't want to own the facility. So really, those are the two distinct buckets. And, you know, quite frankly, the institutional capital wants something different than retail capital. And generally, they have different goals. So, you know, we try to structure the investment opportunities for them a bit differently.
Yeah. For the individual, what does that opportunity look like from a minimum standpoint, from a time horizon standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, generally, so the investment minimum most of our deals is $50,000. You have to be an accredited investor. We offer these, they're called Reg D offerings. So they're a non-traded security, basically. So you as the investor are investing generally in an LLC that holds the property. And so you participate in both the income and the depreciation through a K-1 at the end of the year. And that's why most people are involved. They appreciate the income, but then also the tax benefits of the depreciation of commercial real estate as well. Generally, our projects are between a 5 and 7 year hold. Right now, we're doing a fund. Think of it almost, George, like a mutual fund of self-storage properties. So we're going to buy a bunch of properties, put them in a portfolio, and then you as the investor have invested at the fund entity at the top. So you get the diversification of multiple properties, multiple markets, multiple states. So if one gets hit by new supply, like we talked about, you know, hopefully the performance of the fund is buoyed by the rest of the properties.
Got it. Excellent. Well, Chris, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I would say, George, it certainly depends on what your goals are, but certainly on the real estate side, if you're interested in this world, whether it be passive investing or as a direct investor, you eventually have to jump. I can speak from my own journey, too. It's super easy to get analysis paralysis and continue to read and educate, and I'm not advocating that you make uneducated decisions, but there comes a point where the best way to learn is to be involved. And whether that's passive investor or as a direct investor, eventually you got to jump in with 2 feet and say, okay, I may not know everything, but I'm going to figure it out along the way. And so I've seen lots and lots of people over the years just kind of educate themselves to nothing, to no action. And, you know, to me, some action is better than no action, even if that some action isn't always the best.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you and learn about the opportunities?
Sure. So I think our website, ReliantInvestments.com, is a good place to start. We have a lot of information about the firm, track record, et cetera. On LinkedIn, I'm fairly active. It's Chris Benson with a K, K-R-I-S. If you search for me there, you'll certainly find me as well.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Chris your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to, Chris, is it Reliant Investments with an S?
You got it.
Go to ReliantInvestments.com. Check out the different opportunities that they have. You can find Chris on LinkedIn. I like it. Thanks again, Chris.
My pleasure, George. Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.